Carly Simon wrote what is now a rock hit called You're So Vain. It's a song about a former romantic interest of Carly's who was very self-absorbed. And the chorus is one of rock's classics, You're So Vain. I bet you think this song is about you, you're so vain. I bet you think this song is about you, don't you, don't you? Yeah, it's a classic. Thank you, you can sit down. Yeah, it's okay. As Jesus and his disciples are traveling the countryside, the disciples get into an argument about who is the greatest. And they think the song is about them. They're so vain. How great they must be to be privileged to be in the entourage of Jesus Christ. They're so vain. Now the disciples have done some great things in their time following Christ. We learn in Matthew that long before Jesus even goes to the cross, that he gives his disciples authority to cast out unclean spirits, to heal every disease, every affliction. He gives them this authority, and they go and they do it. They've done great things. And not long before our text this morning, a few of these disciples are so privileged that Jesus invites them to go up a mountain with him, and they see Jesus transfigured, showing his full and glorious self. And not only that, but they get to see Jesus talking to two long gone heroes of the faith, Moses and Elijah. They are so privileged to see this. And so, as they are traveling about, these privileged and vain disciples start arguing about who amongst them is the greatest. Who's number one? Now this argument frustrates Christ, and for good reason. Because while walking about with this specifically picked group of people, Jesus, for the second time in this gospel, predicts his own death. He says that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Jesus tells them, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be betrayed. It's going to be awful. And the disciples have nothing to say. They don't understand. Instead, they argue about which one of them is the greatest. They're so vain. They think the song is about them. Now part of that might be because they just didn't understand what Christ was saying. It's ominous talk to talk about your own death. They didn't even ask him to explain it further because they were afraid. But they don't get the big picture of what Jesus Christ is doing. They don't understand his mission. Instead, they just focus on their own vain, glorious selves. When I worked at Park River Bible Camp, I had a lot of stressful decisions to make. During the summer, one of the more stressful decisions to make was about who was going to do what on any given week. I had a staff of anywhere from 20 to 40, really. And each summer, I would hire 15 camp counselors, and their primary job was to be a camp counselor for kids that came to camp. I had to hire 15 because on our busiest weeks, I needed every single one of them, if not more. But there were plenty of weeks when I didn't need them all, and so I would have to choose which one is going to counsel and which one's going to scrub toilets, which one's going to wash dishes, which one is going to do these things that they just feel are beneath them. And you can ask the kids that went to camp with me a couple years ago. There's a lot of toilets to clean. There's a lot of land to take care of. There's a lot of weeds to pull. It can be tiring stuff. Now, what made that stressful is that counselors want to be counselors. To them, that's the place of importance. They wanted to be with the kids, not scrubbing toilets, not pulling weeds. But for the ministry to be successful, those things had to happen. They had to be done. People needed clean living spaces. They needed a clean camp grounds. They needed clean dishes to eat on. Those things had to be done, and they all contributed to the camper's experience, because camp was all about the campers, the kids that came to camp. Many of my counselors just couldn't understand that. They couldn't get past themselves. And from time to time, I would have one come and complain as though their skills are being underutilized and they're just being wasted by washing these toilets. Can't this person do that? Can't I do this? The assumption being that they're better at counseling than the people I assigned to counseling for that week. They felt the song was about them. And the song at summer camp is about Jesus Christ. And it's about the campers hearing about Jesus. They got confused. And so, they were so vain. We can be vainglorious, self-seeking. Our pride and our self-centeredness inflates us, especially Bison fans. I mean, come on. We tend, though, as human beings, to rest on our laurels, on our virtue, our own abilities. We think of ourselves as greater than we are. And in doing so, we often can't see the bigger picture. For us, the bigger picture is always ourselves. Christ knows that the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. And so he takes the opportunity to sit down and to teach them. And he says to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And then taking a child into his arms, Christ tells them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Now, this might feel weird to us because we obviously love children. But in this context, the child is the least, is a non-important person to the disciples. In other places in the Gospels, when children are coming to Jesus, the disciples rebuke them, tell them to stay away. So the child here is the least. One of the most challenging weeks for a camp at Park River Bible Camp is Jubilee Camp. And this is the camp that I took a couple kids to two summers ago. Jubilee Camp is a camp for both mentally and physically disabled individuals. I would say probably the average age of the camper that comes is probably in their 40s, maybe 50s. First-time counselors are the most fun to watch at Jubilee Camp, because they are asked to do some things that are way out of your comfort level. And they are challenging, and they often are very humbling experiences. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. They could be things like helping a grown man wipe himself after going to the bathroom. Or maybe in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up because somebody's bedding needs to be changed because they maybe threw up or had an accident, and you as a camp counselor have to deal with it. Or maybe even that person experienced a seizure during the day, and you need to clean their garments so they can go about the rest of their day. Some counselors just can't handle it. First, they simply say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But often, in most cases, they eventually work into doing things and become more comfortable, and it becomes something of a change in them. They become joyful. They love what they're doing, even though it can be so disgusting at times. They push themselves. And my favorite thing about Jubilee Camp was at the end of the week, having a meeting with all my staff, sitting down and just asking them how the week went. And you'd hear all these great stories. There'd be big smiles. They just loved every part of it. And they come to a realization that it became not about them, but about the person they were serving. Because at the beginning of the week, it was about them, about what they wanted to do, what they didn't want to do. At the end of the week, it became fully about the person they were serving. But even more than this, is they realize that the song isn't about them. And maybe it's not even about the camper, the person that came, but it's about Jesus Christ and what he wants to do for the least of us. And the best was when they realized that they were the lowest themselves, just as low as anybody else that came to camp, and that they needed to be served by Christ the same way they served others. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, pre-existent before all things, is first. He is the greatest, yet he tells his disciples that he is going to become last of all, servant of all, by being betrayed into the hands of men, killed by them, suffering at their hands. He who is first becomes last and servant, and he does it for you. The irony about Carly Simon's song, You're So Vain, is that the song really is about the ex-boyfriend. The whole song is. Every chorus, every verse, it's about the person that she says, I bet you think this song is about you. Well, yeah, you're right. It is about you. It doesn't make sense. But in the same way, Christ's song, it's about him, but it's about him for you. Not because you're so great or because you have done so many great things, but it's because of who you are exactly. The lowest of all sinners. The most vainglorious of all people. The song is about you because Christ is for you. When we come to that realization, when we know how low we are, how in need we are of Christ, and how he has become last of all and servant of all, last for you and servant for you, then we can see with his eyes the child, the low one who comes into our midst and serve that person, and in so doing, serve Christ, and in so doing, serve the Father. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have shown us to be last of all, the lowest of the low. And Lord, we give you thanks that you have gone even lower for us, to serve us by your blood. Despite who we are, you have died for us so that we may have life in your name. We thank you for this, and we give you praise. Amen.